Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
And Mike Miller is off on this Saturday, enjoying this beautiful day, I trust. And along with me, here to take your questions, is June Hudson, Master Gardener and Horticulturist, spent 40 years at the Missouri Botanical Gardens. And so she is here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900 and 1-800-925-1120. And June, I was wondering, it gets this warm out and you think maybe the plants would like to go outside and enjoy the sunlight a little bit. Is it a good idea when the temperatures are in the upper 50s and then up towards 70 to go ahead and take your plants outside again?
No.
That was easy. All right, next question.
Well, you know, the nights are still cool, number
right.
one.
Yeah, you so definitely want to bring them in before.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a smallish plant that you can get in and out, I shouldn't have just said no. But you know what? You just got them in, and they're trying to adjust to the indoor conditions that sometimes, you know, it takes a little while for them to settle in to tolerate indoor lack of humidity, less light. I wouldn't try to, you know, take them out for just a day. I don't think it's going to be that good for them. I'd like just leave them adjust. You know, they won't know it's that nice out. So
yeah, don't tell them.
No, don't tell them.
Yeah, don't tell them. And so, yeah, you want to let them get used to being where they are.
Yes.
And then leave them there and not
right.
go back and forth.
Right.
What
right.
about watering? I guess, do you water less when they're inside?
Oh yeah. Well, they're not transpiring that much. You know, they're hunkering down too. They do slow up in their growth. And so as they don't grow, they don't use the water as readily. So, you know, you need to learn how to feel the soil. And if the soil is dry and you know it shouldn't be, then you water. Mm-hmm. But don't ever let the water accumulate in a saucer because they really don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it is, of course, Christmas season upon us and Christmas trees. I used to get, on occasion, my first wife and I, we used to get live trees with the balls and
nice.
Put them in the living room and then put them out in the yard when the time came. Is that a good way to go?
It is. It is. You have to, like, you know, be aware, though, that it is a live plant and you're moving it indoors, outdoors after having been indoors. You can't keep it indoors as long as you could keep a cut tree.
Right.
And this would be an ideal time to pre-dig that hole that you're going to put it in, because that's always the tricky part. When you need to plant the tree outside, the ground's hard as a rock.
Right.
But if you pre-dig it, you're ready to go. And you always try to make the hole twice as big, twice as wide as the ball of the tree,
hmm.
not any deeper than the crown, which is right at the growing point that comes out of the ball. So you don't want it deeper because you don't want it to sink and it lay low into the soil. That would be really bad for most Christmas trees.
What's a good time to leave it inside?
Oh, boy.
Like 2 weeks?
2 weeks max.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's that dry, hot, you know, house heat that they have never experienced. So, yeah, you need to cut it short, which, you know, is not that easy to put those ornaments on and, you know, get them off in a short amount of time. That's sort of the downside to it. But it's a beautiful idea to, you remember that tree forever.
Yeah. The one is growing right outside the back porch, and it's gotten pretty good sized
right now.
Do you like, take it out in stages, maybe put it in the garage for a few days to let it get used to the cold again, or can you just go ahead and...
Well, it probably came from a northern location, or even in Missouri. It hasn't been that cold, but they're more or less used to the outside. You could stage it, but I don't think it really helps that much.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to get it in the ground, give it a good drink. So all those roots in that ball are getting moisture. And you might have to water it a couple of times during the winter if we have a very dry winter.
Right.
So that's another thing to consider, that, you know, you need to have the opportunity to water that ball, because that's all it's drawing on is that little bit until spring when it starts to, you know, branch out from that structure.
All right. That's June Hudson, and she is taking your questions right now at 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120, as we're sitting in for Mike today on the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. And let's go to Loretta in St. Peter's. Loretta, you are now on KMOX.
Hi, can you hear me?
We certainly can.
Okay. I did not trim my knockout roses. It's too late for that. And can I, last weekend I blew all the leaves out from under my bushes. Can I still get bags of compost and put it on the ground, or is it too late for that?
Okay. About the compost, no, you certainly can do that. This is actually the ideal week to mulch your gardens. They usually tell you to do it on Thanksgiving, and I get a big kick out of that because nobody's going to do that. But it's just a day to give you. So you're right in time to put compost underneath your bushes. And what was the first question?
The roses.
Yes. No, it's not too late to trim them. What kind of roses are they? Do you know?
I don't even know. They were given to me as a gift.
Okay, they're tea roses, I would guess, if they were a gift. So what you need to do is, after it gets a little bit colder, you need to put some compost on the base of that rose. Have you done that before?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, get some of that same compost you're going to get for your shrubs and put it on the base of the roses, but wait till it gets a little bit colder towards the end of the year.
Okay, real good. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, thank you to Loretta in St. Peter's. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120 is the number, 1120, the numbers to call. And June will take your calls next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Sitting in for Mike today, I'm Brian Kelly, along with June Hudson. She's a master gardener and horticulturist, and she'll be glad to take your questions at 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120 on the Small Business Saturday. Let's go to Gary. Gary is online. He has a question for June. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Brian and June. You guys sound good.
Hi, thanks.
I wanted to know, does the botanical garden ever sell any other plants or trees or anything? What I'm looking for, and I know it doesn't grow naturally around here, is a bay leaf, because my girlfriend uses that in soups and stews and stuff, but she can bring it in the winter, right?
Yes. Yes, the bay leaf is from the Mediterranean region and not hardy in our area, so... That's not going to work. But if you have good light, you can grow the bay leaf, and that will suffice for culinary use, I'm sure. It's a gorgeous plant, by the way. Smells so good. So, yeah, if you get it small, you have a better chance, although it's probably the only way you're going to be able to find it anyway.
Yeah. Does the botanical gardens have any of those that they get rid of or sell?
Well, funny you should ask. So it's not the ones they have in their collections, of course, because those are our permanent plants. But every spring we have a giant, giant herb sale. And they always have the bay leaf tree. They don't have that many of them. So you need to look into that. Go on the garden's website, mobot.org, and check out when the herb sale is going to be. It's sometime in the latter part of April. And then you can come down and buy one at that sale, along with a lot of other wonderful herbs.
Yeah, doggone, I wanted it for a Christmas present.
Oh, I see. Well, you know what? It all may not be lost, because it's such a beautiful plant. There are some nurseries that carry house plants, and if you can go to those, they may just have one in their house plant department.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
It's 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Get on with June and ask your questions. We talked about a little bit about what's going on at the Botanical Garden. Of course, they have their train display.
Oh, gosh, is it beautiful.
Is it this year?
Yes, this year, it's always wonderful.
It is, yes.
But the first part of the good news is that now, unlike other years, your admission price includes the entrance to the train show. You don't need a ticket. There's no lines. You walk in. You don't have to wait, which is a great improvement over previous years. So having said that, this year it's all about Mexico.
Oh.
And they've got this like humongous fountain, like a plaza, that is absolutely gorgeous in the middle. Mm-hmm. But then in the back of the hall is this beautiful, huge poinsettia tree. And it's a marvel just to see it growing, but it's absolutely stunning. But all the trains have a motif of Mexico, and the shops that are in the little scenes around with all the trains, it's all about Mexico. It's just absolutely beautiful, because that's the home of the poinsettia. That's where it was discovered.
That sounds wonderful. And one thing, when you go to the Botanical Garden, the food they have there,
absolutely.
And don't they have tamales? Isn't there a tamale stand there? And it's really, really good.
A tamale stand? I've never seen that before.
I'm pretty sure been there and
how
had
the tamales. How did I miss the tamale stand?
I don't know. It's over by the Schlafly one. That's usually kind of where you wind up.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, and they have a lot of good food over there.
Go
and go to the Garden Glow or anything else when they have the events.
Well, look for that.
Yeah, good stuff. You mentioned poinsettias. What do we need to know? A lot of people get them and give them, and we, you know, maybe at church, the leftovers after Christmas, we bring them home.
Right.
What do we need to know about taking care of them?
Well, the first thing that one should consider, and I see this all the time and I just cringe, is that when you buy them, especially mostly at the grocery store, they walk out of the store with them in their cart. Normally it's not 69 or 59 degrees,
right.
But when it's cold, with no covering. I mean, that it's a tropical plant. And when they get home, I suspect it's about a half an hour before those leaves start falling off on the floor.
Wow.
So then you have nothing for what you've bought. But having said that, when you take them home, you need to keep them in bright light and evenly moist. As I said that a couple times already, but don't let water stand in the saucer.
Mm-hmm.
You could put some pebbles, however, in that saucer and raise the plant up. That gives it a little extra humidity, which they love. So bright light, evenly moisture, and it'll bloom for a fairly long time. It's not really the flowers, the pretty color part. They're called bracts. So the flowers are yellow and they're little and they're in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But it keeps them holding on to those beautiful colored bracts for a longer time if you treat it right. But it likes warm temperatures, maybe it's just about house heat, but not any heat blowing on it. That's what it really hates. So away from any vent.
What about like on the side of the fireplace? Not in front of it, but kind of on the side of it. Is that too much heat?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any heat it would get from a source other than just general house heat away from a vent or whatever would be too much.
And again, you don't let it setting in the saucer of water, but you can put, like you said, pebbles underneath to raise it.
Right.
So there's moisture under it, but not like in it, not getting in the pot.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Right, and there's some gorgeous colors out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the orange ones I just love. They're so atypical, but it's a beautiful orange. So they're really breeding some beautiful colors, not only in the bracts, but in the actual leaves of the plant. They're, you know, speckled and variegated and just beautiful cultivars.
Do they sell those type of plants at the botanical mm-hmm. garden this time of year?
Yeah, in the gift shop.
In the gift shop.
Yeah, right.
Okay, good
right.
to know. And yeah. a lot of people get those and give those around
yes.
Christmas, so you wonder how to...
Yes.
But bundle them up like they're your little baby when you go out
yeah.
in the cold.
That's for sure.
Yeah, take care of them.
Yeah.
436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. That's June Hudson. I'm Brian Kelly. We're at your service on the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline on KMOX.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Hey, if you know any Chiefs fans, you might want to call them today and be nice to them. They're going through a tough stretch. You know how those Chiefs fans are, man. Ruin their whole week after they lose. I know. I've been there. The Blues lose. I'm in a bad mood, too. So, you know, be nice to the Chiefs fans. Be nice to us Blues fans. The Blues will get them back tonight when they play the Minnesota Wild. I almost said North Stars. Ah, the good old days. All right, let's talk gardening, shall we? All right, we'll do that. June Hudson is the master gardener and horticulturist who is here this morning taking your calls, including one from Carmen. And Carmen is in Cottleville. How are you this morning? Hello, Carmen.
Yes.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Okay, I got a question. I have hydrangeas. I got a lot of them. I got some in the front yard, some in the back. They've gotten to be real large, which is fine. They're probably 5 years old, 6 years old. This year, I hardly had any flowers on them. I don't know what is the proper time to cut them back. I guess I did something wrong. Can you advise me?
Sure, I'm happy to do that. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you pruned them in the last year?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, you know, hydrangeas, probably since you're describing the size of them, I'd say that because of their age, you probably have some of the older varieties. Having said that, they're just wonderful. However, they bloom on old wood. So if you cut them much past the time that they bloomed, you probably cut off the buds for the next year. So if that's what happened, that's why you didn't have any flowers. However, this particular year was a very bad year for hydrangeas. And the reason for that is because we had last year, at the beginning of the year, we had a nice warm spell like we're having now. And the hydrangeas said, well, I guess it's time we better start pumping our juice into our flower buds, and that's what they did. And then when you know, of course, as nature would have it, consequently, it got very cold. And when that happened, there was so much sap in the hydrangea blooms already, they froze. And hardly anyone had hydrangeas, so you're in a big club for this year. So we have to hope that doesn't happen. This warm spell is still fairly early in the season, so I'm hoping that won't be an issue, but it's not only for hydrangeas how cold it gets, it's when it gets cold. And if that juice has been pumping and they're vulnerable, they could freeze and then not bloom the following year. So let's hope for the best. Do not now cut them back, because that would certainly eliminate any possible bloom that you would have for this coming year.
So, ma'am, you want me to just leave them alone?
Leave them alone. That's easy to do, isn't it? Just leave them alone. Let's see what happens weather-wise. That's what we have to be worried about.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's my kind of gardening. So should we be hoping for some cold weather here pretty soon?
Yes.
Yeah.
So things stay dormant. That back and forth, you know, is really hard on plant material because they just know it's warm and they start to grow. And mm-hmm. then it gets, of course, cold. I mean, it'd be freezing cold into the end of March. So we got a long way to go.
Yeah, we sure do.
Long way to go.
Let's go to Mary. She is in Crestwood and now she is on KMOX. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I am looking to buy a small bonsai plant for a child, well, a young adult to practice on. I know Honors used to have them, but I don't exactly want to go online. I didn't know if there's any nurseries. I know the garden has them.
Right. Yeah, the garden does have a wonderful selection. Are you looking for a plant that's already started as a bonsai, so you want to give it with a bonsai form to it? Is that what you want to do?
So, to, Kirk. Otherwise, he wouldn't know how. Or
sure.
I think he would know how to start if it was not bonsaied already.
Sure. Some of the local nurseries, you know, any nursery that has a houseplant section usually has a selection of bonsai plants. So there's several in the St. Louis area. I think if you look in the online, you can probably find a link for that, and they'll tell you that they have houseplants. And
yeah,
once they, pardon me?
I just want to go online because I can't see them, you know.
Oh, sure. No, you wouldn't buy them online. It'll just tell you if they had houseplants.
Okay.
So any good nursery that has a houseplant department should have bonsai plants for sure.
I didn't know if there was a bonsai club.
Well, there is, but they don't sell plants.
Okay, they might give me some direction.
Oh, yeah, there is a bonsai society right here in St. Louis, and they do have a website.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for the call, Mary, in Crestwood. You can be next at 436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with June Hudson, our master gardener and horticulturist, as we sit in for Mike Miller, who hopefully is somewhere warm. He could be in his backyard and be nice and warm. 48 degrees right now, heading for a high of 59. Again, it's going to be 61 tomorrow, 69 on Monday, 69 on Tuesday, but it's at 36 that keeps the plants inside, for sure.
Yes, for sure.
What about bulb planting? Is this the time of year to do any of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, normally we'd say it was on the later side. However, having said that, certain bulbs still you can plant up to the time that the ground is frozen. Most of the time, that would be tulips. Mm-hmm. And they're about the bulb that you can plant the latest and still have it bloom that following spring.
But now because of the weather the way it is, there are other bulbs you can still plant now?
Yes, there's smaller bulbs. The small, they call them minor bulbs. Or narcissus are a little more tricky. They should have been in October so the roots can get established under the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is still the nurseries are carrying a good supply of fall planted bulbs. And so you can avail yourself maybe of sales on those. But you want to get them in the ground soon. I mean, we're on borrowed time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The difference is, of course, not only do they need that time period to bloom, they also, you don't want to have to use dynamite to get the hole in the ground.
That's for sure.
Because it's going to freeze, hopefully, soon. But right now, go for it.
Yeah, because right now the ground is, you know, deep as you need to go is going to be soft and warm.
Exactly.
Because we haven't had it. Now, we've had a lot of drought. It's been really dry.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, with the warmth, we've been in pretty doggone good shape.
You know, one thing it would be good to know is after you plant your bulbs, because you're going to work up this ground and you're telling every squirrel in the neighborhood that worked up ground indicates they forgot a acorn that they put underneath the ground and then they start digging.
Uh-huh.
So if after you plant the bulbs, if you just with your hands or a light footprint tap the ground down so it doesn't alert every squirrel that there is around in your neighborhood to come and dig something up.
Interesting.
And you can avert a tragedy with your bulbs.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
You got to hide it from the squirrels.
You got to hide them. They're smart.
Those boogers, man, they get into everything. Man, oh man. Next up we have on our program, we're going to welcome Evelyn into the conversation. Hi, Evelyn. How are you?
I'm fine. I have two questions. I have a couple of moonbeam coreopsis that have been, they've bloomed their head off for like the last 10 years, and this year they hardly did anything. We do have yard people, and they mulched pretty good. I also wonder, do those grow up from seed, or do they grow up from the established plant, or how is that? And also, my second question, I planted some tulips in some 12-inch pots, and I have them in the garage. Can I just leave them there over the winter and then bring them and maybe water them sometime, a few times, and then bring them out in the spring? Will they do anything?
Okay. The coreopsis, the moonbeam coreopsis are very vulnerable to winter wetness or wetness on their root system. And if they got too much mulch on their head, it may have contributed to the weakening of the plant itself. So I would say if you still have some of it, make sure that that doesn't happen for this winter and keep that crown of that plant unmulched because it doesn't really like to be covered. And it to answer your other question about it, it does come back from the actual plant that you have. It's not really a seed development. It's a development of a structure itself that's underground, the root system. So I would say that as long as you keep that mulch off of there in the spring, give it some fertilizer, and I think you'll be rewarded with a healthier plant at that time.
Should I take some of the mulch off now?
Yeah, take it off the top of the plant. You can give it a hug with the mulch, as we say, but not on the crown. The crown itself is where it's coming out of the ground, and that really doesn't like to be mulched.
Okay.
Okay, as about the tulips, that's a good way to grow tulips. It's called forcing, and the fact that you have them in the garage is a good thing because if they were outside in a pot, the pot would probably not protect them from the bulbs getting frozen. However, in the garage is a great place, and what you need to do is it takes about 13 weeks for the plant to develop in that kind of a situation. So you want to just watch it, and when you see the bulbs poking out, or the stems poking out of the soil in the pot, then you gradually bring it into more light. And after a while, you're not going to be able to stop it from blooming. They will bloom earlier than the ones you've planted in the ground because they've never gotten that complete cold. So as they grow, then you have to keep the soil moist and give them very good light, and they will bloom in that pot. But you got to watch them and take them into light as soon as you see those stems come up from the ground.
So do I water it in the meantime?
Yeah, water it at first and then check it. They don't need a whole lot of water, but yes, the soil is the only place they have moisture to initiate root development for those bulbs. So you have to keep the soil somewhat moist for roots to be able to take up that moisture into the bulb. So yes, you will have to water it, but you got to learn how to put your finger in there, and if you feel moisture, then you don't have to do it right then, but watch it.
Okay, I really wanted to bring them outside in the springtime.
Well, you can do that, but they're going to want to come up earlier, I do believe. That's the way they do when you force them. You could try that and see if you can prolong them, but once they start growing in the pot, you're going to have to foster that growth, or it's just not going to be able to work.
Okay.
So good luck. I hope that works for you. They're so pretty when you get to... It's nice to have them forced so you can see them blooming earlier. It's kind of a hint of spring.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Evelyn, for the call into KMOX at 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Robert from Wildwood has dialed one of those numbers, and he's with us now. Robert?
Hey, thanks very much. Question is about an indoor hibiscus plant that I've had for about 15 years. I know that Mike Miller said they typically don't last that long, but I've had pretty good luck and taken good care of it. So this year it flowered profusely, and one of the pods that came out for the flower actually didn't flower. It had seeds in it.
Wow. Fabulous.
Yeah. Pretty unusual, I thought, because I'd never seen it in all these years. So try to germinate the seeds, when to do it, how to do it. I've had them sitting on the shelf for about 6 weeks now.
Okay. Well, you're telling me it's a tropical hibiscus, correct?
Yes. When
you bring it in the wintertime?
I've never put it out. I've always kept it in the east window, well watered.
Wow.
I'm shocked by it.
No, you're doing something right. If you've had it that long, it must be doing a good job. Well, having said that, then, yes, it's a tropical plant, so you can take those seeds and let them dry, and then take a good drainage medium or a propagation mix you can buy at all good garden centers, and you might have to just put them barely under the soil and keep them moist and see if you can get them to grow. You won't know till you try. I can't say for sure whether they got pollinated, being that it's an indoor plant. So if they didn't, if nothing pollinated, that seed might be empty. But you can kind of feel it. If it feels hard, chances are it was self-pollinating, and you might have a good chance of getting a baby plant. I'd certainly give it a try.
Okay, now, is there a chance that maybe a bee, a wasp, a fly, something might have landed in it, on it, whatever, and...
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things do get in the house, and if you had a beautiful flower, they would go right to it, so that's very possible.
Well, it... lost my train of thought there. No, the seeds are hard.
Are they? Okay. All right, well, it's looking good. So why don't you try to germinate them and see what you get? You know, just... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, when would I... The seeds have already dried out.
Are they green or are they brown?
They're brown.
They're brown. Okay, then go ahead and sow them.
Okay.
Yeah, give it a try.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Robert, for calling into the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. I'm Brian Kelly. That is June Hudson. We'll take more of your calls in just a moment. It is now 9:45 in Mid-America.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
At 9:52, I'm Brian Kelly in for Mike today. Really in for Mike today is June Hudson. She is Master Gardener and Horticulturist, spent 40 years at the Botanical Garden. She'll take your questions for another 7 minutes. And we have a lot of people in line, so if you could make it pretty quick, we'll answer your question, though, for you, including Jeanette in South St. Louis. Jeanette, how are you?
I'm fine.
Your question for June.
June, I have a beautiful Bradford pear tree in my backyard, but I think it has fire blight. And my question is it safe for me to compost the healthy-looking leaves, just put those in my compost pile, or should I dispose of those leaves in another way?
Dispose of them in another way. You can't really be sure on that question, but I would certainly not take a chance. And they do get fire blight, and they're becoming an invasive species in Missouri, too. But that's another subject. But I would not put those leaves in your compost pile.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Jeanette, for the call. Now we go to St. Louis, and Ray is on KMOX. Hi, Ray.
Good morning. I guess mine is kind of an elementary question on lawn care, but it's about cutting the grass. This time of the year, what's advisable for as far as the health of the lawn? It could stand a cutting at this time, but I didn't know if it's just best just to leave it till the spring.
Well, normally, you leave it a little longer in the fall. So if just a little longer is what you'd say your lawn looks like, I'd just leave it alone.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
And the good news is you don't have to rake those leaves up, as she told us earlier. Just mulch them up and let them be there. And, oh, that's good news for me. Liz in South City, you are on with June. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. I just have a quick question. I bought a bunch of mums. I know it's too late for them this year, but when is the best time to plant them? I like to leave some on my porch a little bit, but when's the best time to plant them so that they will come back?
Okay, you do it quick. We're in a warm period, so you've got a little window of opportunity there. So make a nice hole and plant them and water them in. And don't, whatever you do, don't cut them back. Just leave them alone and see if they come back in the spring. They got to set out roots, and whether there's time enough to do that is negotiable. But give it a go in this warm period. You might be lucky, but you need to do it right away.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, there's another to-do list taken care of for today. Robert has a couple of questions for us on KMOX. Hello, Robert.
Hello. Judy, I'd like to know, I have a yard that the grass is beautiful and green, and then I have huge patches of weeds that I'd like to take care of this fall. I'm wanting to know if I could spray like the 65 on the weeds, but they're huge patches of weeds in my yard. And then the other question is I have some hybrid roses that I haven't cut back yet. Is it too late for them to cut back? And if so, how far?
Okay, about the weeds, because it's so warm in the day, you want to deal with those weeds, but it's the nights are still cold, and that's what's not going to be so good for that weed killer. So, You can try it, but it's really probably better to wait now and do it in the springtime. They'll go dormant, and then you can get to them in the spring.
Okay.
About the roses, it's not too late to cut them back. You can cut them back to about maybe 2 feet or more, depending on how. Are they tea roses, do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, generally speaking, you just cut them back to maybe 2.5 feet, and that should be enough for them to maintain dormancy.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
And now to Muscoota, Illinois, where Mary Jo has Christmas cactus envy. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi. I have this large Christmas cactus that my daughter gave me 2 years ago. And when she gave it to me, it was, had a lot of blooms on it. But last year, it didn't bloom at all. And this year, her cactus already has some buds on it, and mine doesn't have anything. And I was wondering if I should use some liquid fertilizer or what?
Well, actually, the Christmas cactus likes to run a little dry before it sets buds. So if yours remained moist for a longer period of time than hers did, that might have caused it not to set any buds. But eventually, they should set buds anyway, but don't overwater it now. And don't, just leave it. You can tell if the leaves look kind of shrivelly, that's when it needs water. But until it shows that symptom, then it needs to go on the dry side, and I'll bet you get some blooms only later.
Well, does she takes hers outdoors over the summer months, and is that a good idea?
Oh, yeah. They love it. They love it. Yeah.
Now, I only water mine every other week, so that's not too often, is it?
Well, it's not, but I can't see the soil to know if that's too often or not. If it's heavier soil, it might be too often, but you can let it go pretty dry. You know, it is a cactus.
Uh-huh.
So it's better to let it go dry in the fall because that will initiate buds for the flowers.
Okay. All right. Thank you, June.
Okay. You're welcome.
So do you tell that on a cactus, too, by sticking your finger in the soil and if there's any moisture? But with a cactus, you can let it go a while.
Yeah, you can, really. And Christmas cactus doesn't look like a cactus. That's kind of the tricky part. So it's better to let it on the dry side. And when you see the leaves getting just a little bit shrivelly, you know, go, oh, my gosh, they're shrivelly. Then you give it a good drink. And, again, don't let it set in water.
Okay.
But in between time, it likes to be on the dry side.
All right. That's June Hudson. Again, she spent 40 years at the Missouri Botanical Gardens, and she is a master gardener and horticulturist. So, June, day today, it's 59 degrees. It's sunny. It's calling you to go outside. It's saying, come on out, June.
Yeah, I'm
and
going.
And let's play. What are you going to be doing in your yard or the garden or wherever?
You know, what I have to do, because it's warm, I have a little pond, and it's the leaves, the water lily leaves are getting yucky, and the leaves are falling in. So I'm going to get in there and clean that out.
That sounds like a great day.
It's only good in warm weather, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I've got a very little pond that the birds enjoy bathing in.
Yeah, they do.
And it gets filled with leaves this time of year. I go out there and scoop it out and make sure, clean the pump a little bit. And the birds love it.
Yeah, they do. They'll love it all winter, too.
Yeah, they do.
You have to keep a little open spot for them so they can drink.
I try to do that.
And oxygen, yeah.
That's June Hudson, and thank you, June, for being here today. It's been fascinating listening to you give out your advice over the last couple of hours, filling in for Mike Miller. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And coming up, the Mutual Fund Show with Adam Bold at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, Scott Mosby's going to be in with the Mosby Building Arts Home Improvement Show. Rick Edelman at 1, the Business of Family Business on this Small Business Saturday at 3 o'clock, Dollars and Cents at 4. And then at 6, sports leading up to Blues hockey. Have a great day. It's 10 o'clock.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.